Turn it up. You're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord Nelson. That
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It is yours truly, the Lord Nelson, that is, from the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And once again, as usual, I have a very special guest. These young men are really dope, man. And of course, I'm going to have to read what I've written about them because I like to big up my guests and let them know how special they are. Because if you're on this show, you're special. I don't care if everybody knows you or they don't know you. You're special as hell and you're dope as a motherfucker. And so we're going to read a little something about them, man. So ladies and gentlemen, when you hear this band, I don't care who you are, you can definitely find something or everything about them you like. It's like being in a strip club where no matter who you are or what you like, they have your type. Yeah. So from the magnificent melodic vocals to the heavier death metal lace vocals, you are fed their fiery energy that also transitions into the coolest laid-back vibe that the ladies will love too. You know, this is my opinion. This is what I feel. This is what I'm getting from it. So they are doing a great job of straddling that line between mainstream and hardcore, and I love it. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I now welcome to Live and Loud with the Lord, the incredible Dragonfly Effect, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. You got to clap these gentlemen up. Yeah, what's up? What's up?
What's going on?
Hey, it's your world, man. So,
first time being compared to a strip club. Gotta love it.
Hey, man. It's all love, man. So,
yeah, I love it.
First and foremost, where are you guys from?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the greatest, of course. I'll get to that in a second. Well, I'll talk about it in a second. So what's the best thing about being from there?
A little bit of everything, I'd say.
It's not bad. I like the rivers. There's a good, like, you know, culture on the water, I guess, you know.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Seasons are good. I have a boat, so, I mean, we use it. There's a spot for it.
The food.
The food, yeah. There's good food.
Yes, indeed. So you said you have a boat. What kind of boat do you have?
It's older. It's like a recreational boat. I bought it for, you know, me and my wife like years ago. Now we have two little boys and like,
right.
You know, it's good for skiing, like, you know, water skiing, tubing, stuff like that.
Gotcha. So it's not like, is it pontoonish like that? No, or just more like a ski boat? Like,
it's more of a speed boat. Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Yeah. Yeah. See, I like to go fishing. I'm an avid fisherman. I go fishing. I love it. You know, I like to get with my son and go do that. It's peace of mind and stuff like that. So when you say boat, man, that just grabbed me.
I was actually talking to my boys the Friday or Saturday this week. Trout season just came in up here in PA. So
right.
They're both at the age now where they want to go hit it. So I'm just like, let's go.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Those times are always great times.
Yeah.
You know, when my son was going to college and they asked him, what's something that we might not know about you? Because he played basketball also. They was like, what's something we might not know about you? He's just like, when I go fishing with my dad and we just get out there and it's just us. And
yeah, that's awesome.
I was like, God, dog, man, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know? And his mom was like, oh, you didn't say nothing about me. I was like, nah, it's all about me this time.
So that's my play. No, dude, because honestly, them kids are tied to their mom forever.
Yes, indeed. Especially boys, no doubt.
Especially boys.
I am a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we were talking about there not too long ago, and always will be, not unless South Carolina acquires a team.
Yeah.
So what is that energy like doing football?
No, I'm not home, but I'm right here.
Right.
it's like all the hype around here.
Yeah,
it really is.
Like if it's football season, I don't know. People get completely engulfed in it. Mm-hmm. Fantasy football, everybody's on their phone constantly. You know, it's Sundays is game day.
Right.
It's just what it is here.
Yeah, they say like Dallas. We're not talking about Dallas Cowboys. They said that like Pittsburgh and Green Bay, like when it's football season and on that Sunday, said like the city just really shuts down. It's all about what's going on with the football. So, hey, yeah, man.
There's traffic. I know that. That's the one thing about Pittsburgh that I really can't stand is our roads and our bridge system and our switching lanes and our exit ramps off the parkway and stuff. It's that kind of could use some rework there.
Well, South Carolina is known for some terrible roads also, so I can't I can't say anything. I mean, some terrible ones. So the last Pittsburgh question, I'd ask one more, and all of these are selfish questions because, you know, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So, Primanti Brothers, have you guys been there to that sandwich?
Here's how a Primanti's sandwich is made.
Doesn't look easy, though.
The first step is to choose your meat and toss it on the grill.
Okay, now grab you a Coca-Cola.
Beautiful pastrami.
Then you add some provolone. When it's cooked, toss it all on some fresh Italian bread.
Delivered every day fresh.
And then the pièce de résistance, the fries, and slaw.
Nobody makes our sandwich because they don't know my secret recipe. It does make the sandwich.
Tony, I don't want anything on my sandwich.
You're getting what I gave you.
Yes.
You both have. How great is it, man? Listen, I just seen it on television about how great is it. How great is it, though, man?
It's great. I like it. Yeah, it's good. It's actually great. They just got voted the best restaurant in Pennsylvania, and today they gave away one free beer to every patron today.
Really?
Yeah. They was like they won some award or something for restaurants.
Well, I'm definitely hoping that when I get up there, that will be one of my spots that I definitely have to go to. No doubt.
Yeah, it's good. I always throw hot sauce and salt and pepper on it. You can't go wrong with like.
All right, hold on. You got one of your other brothers in here. Hold on a second.
I figured they'd start jumping on.
That's all love. Let me let them on in here. It's love. It's love. Let them get together. It's love. See, this just adds all to the ambiance of everything, man. Good, man. What's going on, young man?
Hello.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Corey.
Love, love, love. Hey, we're just having a great conversation about Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, and Primanti Brothers. Okay. So, you know, that's all. So you haven't missed a whole lot.
Okay.
But it's all beautiful, man. So now I am about to get into talking about the band here. So 2021 Dragonfly Effect is formed. Please educate us about the genesis of the band. I know you've answered this question a million times, but I really want to know.
Matt, you want to take it?
Yeah, so as Corey kind of touched base on, Corey and I go way back. We were in and out of projects together from 2016 and on. And, you know, after one of our past projects that we were currently with at that time was kind of starting to go south, we were like, why don't we kind of just team up and do our own thing and just kind of go our own direction? And it was about September of 2021. We decided to go full steam ahead with this. And the name came to us. Actually, a buddy of ours kind of... How did Brad come up with that for? You guys went to some sort of a show.
Yeah, so we went to Riot Fest in Chicago in 2019. And there's a band called The Hue. They're like a Mongolian throat singing band. I don't know if anybody's familiar. But they're a cool band. But we were just joking the whole time because the field that they played in, there was like swarms of dragonflies everywhere. So the whole time we were at Riot Fest, we were like, oh, these Mongolians are like, they're just like summoning all these dragonflies with their like throat singing, you know, because it just seemed fitting at the time because we were just having a good time, you know. And then time goes by, we're just spitballing names out on my back porch. And Brad goes, hey, you guys got to be like The Hue. You know, get that dragonfly effect, you know, and he was just joking as like a stage prop. But then as soon as we heard it, we were like, oh, that's kind of like a cool, you know, cool little thing. There's
what
a...
up, though?
Hi,
buddy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, Daddy.
Yeah, buddy.
What's Matt down like that?
Because he's on the computer, buddy. You want to go upstairs while I finish my
phone? What's up, buddy?
Yeah. I'll be up in a little bit, okay, bud?
That's awesome. Yes, sir. Continue. I'm sorry, Dragonfly to you.
Yeah. So jumping back off what Corey said, yeah, he said Dragonfly effect, and both he and I were like, that's it.
Right.
It just was like a no-brainer at that point. We were like full steam ahead, and it worked out because the name, it actually turns out that there's like a philosophical movement behind it.
Yes.
Kind of stuff that we've already been aligned with, like trying to influence change and mm-hmm. thinking for yourself and stuff like that. And that's already like an actual thing. So it all kind of fell into place.
Gotcha.
And we started to use it as like, you know, like a metaphor for about like how social media sort of like can control and like consume people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we kind of created like an anti-movement, you know, it was like the would be the Dragonfly effect, you know, and we come up with this like, you know, corporation, like essentially like a government agency. It's like just using drones and social media to like control people. So it's like a think for yourself type of thing that, you know, we have going. So.
Got you. Well, with so many dope elements in this band, is it safe to say you guys are into all kinds of music?
I am. Yeah.
Most part.
Cause I always have a thing, you know, I was like, no genre snobbing, you know, I don't believe it. I love everything. So, you know, if it's hot, it's hot. I don't care what it is, man. It could be those Mongolian guys, or it could be some classic music, or, you know, whatever it is. If it just sounds good to me, it sounds good to me. So I love everything, man.
Yeah. If you can jam, I'm into it.
I got you. No doubt.
I've been listening to a lot of oldies recently, too, like 770 AM in my truck.
Uh-huh.
You can't beat it. It's like, it's a super local radio station. It's right here, like in our town almost. And, it's just they play all like 40s and 50s music.
Oh man, he
said in like a 50s zone.
And you said AM too? An AM station? Wow. I could just hear it. You know what I'm saying? It has a different sound.
Yeah.
No doubt. So is that like 40s, 50s, man? Like some of that big band music. That's a lot of stuff back then too. That's really, really good, man.
Yeah, a lot of it is really good.
Yeah, indeed. So what kind of movies and books are you watching, reading, and inspired by? Because I just feel like you guys have a certain thing going on. So I just feel like you guys are inspired by some things.
Movies. I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to watch a lot of like B-grade horror movies in college because I took an independent film class.
Okay.
I'm big into like Lord of the Rings. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings nerd.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I could talk about it for hours and days.
Well, I guess the reason why I ask that is like when I'm, and maybe I'll get to it a little bit, I'll talk about it now though, is that when I'm looking at like your lyric videos and things like that, it's just a certain kind of thing. You guys just have a certain thing about it. So I just said to myself, what are they really looking at? What are they doing? You know, what's going on? Because it's different to me, you know? Yeah. It really is. So I'll take that right down. I'll just move on, but I might come back to it a little bit later. Yeah. So your sound is a vibe and a ride like a rocket is about to blast off. This is to me. So the singing is the countdown and the anticipation of what's to come. And then boom, you know what I'm saying? Those heavy vocals and riffs hit you like, damn, man. So it's a beautiful tension and release to me. So who is the guru or who are the gurus behind the production, orchestration, arrangement, and writing of lyrics?
That'd be Matt.
Really?
Yeah, he does, you know, the bulk of the songwriting and production. And then, I mean, when it comes down to like the song arrangements and editing and stuff, the three of us here are pretty much the three that knock most of the arrangement out of the park, but most credit got to go to Matt on that because he's a genius with Pro Tools and you know, he knows his way around some software.
He not only does he know his way around the software, he flies around that software. Mr. Megabytes.
Yeah. Oh, now that's real because there are some people that really just get it. I can, you know, kind of navigate around, but there's some people like bop, 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 bop. They just own it. And so Matt, you're that guy.
Sir, yeah, I have a strong technological background, so like it's just I have a lot of, you know, just like innate, like all right, boom, 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 just pop into it. So it's a gift and a curse.
So what's the creative process then for recording, and how do you guys get together? Is everybody in a room? Or are you usually coming up with all the ideas and then you present it to everybody else?
So it's generally speaking, for the most part, it's been a lot of the stuff that we put out has been stuff that I've constructed, like, you know, a decent bit of time ago. You know, and like my writing process is really arduous. I'll write five songs to yield one. So it takes me a decent bit of time to get the result that I'm ultimately after.
Okay.
But I find that doing that gives you the best variability and options to you know, really pick from. Because you could have five, you know, similar sounding songs, but there's always that one part of that song that, like, the, you know, riff that stands out the most, and you're like,
okay,
I'm taking that. And you just kind of mend them all together and meld them together, and it turns into this big, gigantic, you know, song. But a lot of it has been just, you know, me sitting here on my iMac, just, you know, grinding away, drive myself nuts with certain things, trying to figure out the, you know, chord structures, stuff like that, you know. And then I'll kind of present it, then we'll move forward and be like, here, we can do edits with this, rearrange that, you know, add this part, cut that part, add time here, stuff like that.
So are you big into sonics, like sounds?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It has to be sonically, like, it has to sonically make sense to me for it to, like, be as impactful as it needs to be. You know, so, like, if it doesn't have that sonic characteristic, then, like, that punch, then I'm going to go back to the drawing board and make sure that it has that punch.
Right. So you like to build. So with all those songs that you're doing, you're really just building, you know,
pretty much
just building into one song. No, that's awesome, man. That's awesome, man. So to me, your music truly speaks to men and women. So how have they received your thought provoking music and lyrics?
I mean, so far, it's been very well received. It's been, you know, a lot of people commenting on our stuff saying, you know, it's very powerful. It's been touching. It's been very impactful to me. It's gotten me through this, got me through that, you know. So hearing that, me personally, that means a lot, because some of the crap I've gone through, it's just like, wow, I stories of my pain can hopefully, you know, they can help other people, which to me, that means a lot.
Right. Indeed. Yeah. So, to me, so let me say this. With the music you have created, what is the fan ratio guesstimate of men to women when you're looking out there?
I think right now on Spotify for artists, it's like 70-30.
Yeah.
So mostly men.
Really?
Although, like, we get on social media, we get a lot of, like, women, like, I don't know. It's probably about 70-30, though, I'd say.
I honestly thought it might have gone the other way, listening to the lyrics and the meaning of stuff, you know, and I'm just like, women have got to be loving this, man, you know, because it's like you're pouring your heart out, man, you know, so I'm just telling you what I'm listening to, just being that I'm a lyricist also, I'm just like, ah, damn.
That'd be nice to reverse those stats, though, because if you get girls, dudes are going to be there anyway. So it's
right.
Like,
that's right. Especially, yeah, indeed. Well, I think it may happen, man, because I just, like I said, when I, you know, earlier was talking about, like, you know, the Shine Down, I think you guys have that vibe also there. And so just looking out into the crowd, it's like I'm up on stage with you guys looking out there into the crowd. It's like I can see that. So you guys are handling business, man. You know, it's coming, man. I'm telling you, man, you guys are dope as a bug, man. There's no doubt about it. I'm not just saying that. I really love what you guys are doing. So I feel there's an emotional release and a quest for understanding or closure with your lyrics and music. Pain from a dark place with a yearning for the light. That's my perspective. So what's your truth about your music?
Music for me is really a tool of catharsis, but also at the same time, it's never fully cathartic, because I'm always reminded of some of the crap I've gone through just lyrically. But for me, it's a real way to really express, like, my inner self and really put who I am out in the open in a way that makes sense to me and hopefully makes sense to others as well.
Right, right. Indeed, man. No, I'm feeling it. It's there. It's there. I'm telling you, it's there, man. And I'm not just because you guys are on the show. I'm telling you, man, I love what you're doing, man. It's fucking crazy amazing. It's crazy dope, man. For you guys to just have been together for, you know, the amount of time that you've been, everything just seems so tight and in pocket and everything like that. So each one of you as musicians and, you know, the melodic as well as the harder is just all, it's all right on point, man. It comes in when it's supposed to. It gets you. It's love, man. So it seems you have a unique philosophy associated with your music. So this is where I was asking you about the books and things earlier, like the futuristic themes and titles for your shows and band members. You know, what has brought you to this mindset?
I think for me, like, I was always a big Pink Floyd guy, you know, growing up. So, like, when they did The Wall, when we started a band like this seriously, you know, me and Matt talked about, like, doing, like, the full visual aspect of it, too. You know what I mean? So it was more like a, I don't want to say a movie, but whenever you see us live, so it's more like a performance in a show as opposed to just going and seeing a band jam.
Got you.
You know, so we tried to incorporate all like, the visual aspect into it, too, just so it was, you know, like a full, like, you know, you get fully engulfed in the performance as opposed to just listening to the band.
Yeah, indeed.
We really wanted to make it like an experience, you know, like, and we're still kind of evolving, you know, and crafting that, you know, the universe that is what Dragonfly is. You know, we're still constantly working on that and expanding that and growing it and, you know, trying to add new different cool things to our we refer to our shows as demonstrations because it's more trying to have it like be like a demonstration of, you know, like just this whole universe, right. You know?
No, it's different and it's dope, man. I mean, that catches the attention. So that caught my attention. I was like, what are they trying to say? What's going on here? You know, I'm trying to, what's the other thing that you say? You say demonstration, but do you say chamber? Is it chamber that you say? Like
transmission. Broadcasting, directive.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, it caught me and it grabbed me. I was just like, these guys right here are on another level with this stuff.
To give you a little like insight on that too, like I was telling you earlier about like that government agency that we kind of concocted. We sort of like wrote like a backline, like backstory line that goes and coincides with the music. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Dryley's cousin is working on doing a graphic novel right now.
Right.
Like, so with directive and, you know, demonstration and transmission, those kind of terms, like Dragonfly Effect and this like story that we're writing is like a resistance group more or less against that Dragonfly Corporation that is that government agency that's like trying to mind control people. Mm. So we kind of do have like a little backlog and stuff too, because I mean, at the end goal is we want to build like a lore, you know, want it to be more than just songs. We want it to be like at some point
a brand.
Yeah. And at some point, if we wanted to do a movie like The Wall, like we basically are setting ourselves up for it at the beginning, you know, to kind of just like have this huge, huge, like artistic project 10 years down the road.
Yeah. That's like the Dragonfly, you know, it's an experience. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, listen, man, I love it, man. I think it's truly dope, man. So let's talk about your releases from first to latest. So Lost Inside was the first one, correct?
Yep.
Yes. Well, tell me about Lost Inside.
That is kind of the song that kind of set the tone, I feel, for this project moving forward. It kind of encapsulates all the best elements of what this band is really comprised of. It has the driving synths, the big guitars, the low tuned big guitars, haunting vocal melodies, a little bit of hip hop beats in there, a little bit of, you know, weird sound effects, disembodied like voices.
The AI voice into it. So yeah. Whenever we were writing that song, I mean, we kind of wanted to set the bar as high as we could for like our sound going forward.
Right.
You know, so like that kind of like right now, I mean, me personally, whenever we're doing a track, I always tell myself, I'm like, we have to outdo Lost Inside is the one that we're always trying to like one up on.
Gotcha.
You know, but it was a fun song to write because, you know, at that time, me and Matt were the only two members in the band. Mm-hmm. So like we were just kind of just, you know, a couple times a week getting together and just chipping away at it. And you know, the way that it just turned out, like we both were just like, dude, this song turned out super cool, you know, and then we just tried to build on that sound going forward.
Indeed. Okay, so In Flames.
Yeah, technically speaking, In Flames, actually, Corey and I, we did that actually before Lost Inside. We did that back in October of 2021.
Just got released second.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
The original version of that was released under my name, but that was like technically the first like Dragonfly Effect song.
Gotcha. Okay, Shadows of the Earth.
One of my faves. That was actually a song that came together much like Lost Inside very quickly. It just had something about it. It just all the right elements just melded into one cohesive sound. And that's definitely one of my faves, aside from Lost Inside. There's just the way that that song Shadows just progresses. It really just carries a lot of weight with it. It carries a lot of emotionality, a lot of weight, and yes. Just a lot of, it's sad when you really listen to it, like the lyrics and the music and stuff. It's just a really, lack of a better way to describe it, like pining, like you're pining over something like that you watch, you know?
Right.
So,
nah, man, you guys are touching, you're touching people. I know I've been touched, Pauls. I've been touched, but you know, in the proper way. So Colorblind.
Yeah, Colorblind, that's not one of them songs. That was a song I wrote. I released it independently under my name, but then we decided it's a good song. It just needs that Dragonfly touch, right. The weird synths, the weird pause, you know, pauses, impactful pauses, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So we just kind of tweaked it a little bit and re-released it, and that song is still a really good, powerful song too.
All great, all with great tension and release, man. I'm telling you, love. Someday.
Oh.
Yeah, Someday was a big one because that was the first one that we wrote with all five band members on board. So that one was like a collective of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, it stands out to me as one of my favorites just because it was, you know, the first one that was outside of just me and Matt doing all the writing. So we got everybody involved on that one. You know, we all added our tweaks and our fine tuning and stuff to it. And we were able to keep our sound, quote unquote, but you know, everybody was starting to get the vibe of everything by that point. And, you know, everybody threw their parts down on it. And I was really happy with how that one turned out.
Yep. The original way it was too, was way different than what it ended up turning into, which is really cool.
Which that's how I think a lot of the writing goes, because Matt will get like the bones or like the skeleton to something, and then we'll just slowly just start like all throwing ideas at it and, you know, chipping away and, you know, just doing small edits here and adding sound effects here and, you know, adding some space and some time and just trying to just, you know, make them what they are.
Yeah, making it happen indeed, man. Yeah. Love. So, Infected.
It's a good one.
That's a real good one.
That was our most recent release.
Yes, it is.
Excuse me. But yeah, that one we got to collaborate with Chad Zaliga. He was the original drummer for Breaking Benjamin. So he collabed on that one with us and, you know, kind of coached us in more of a professional way, I want to say. You know, coming from like a platinum drummer, for me being the drummer, it was, he came into town and sat with us on a practice and, you know, I don't want to say he grilled me, but, you know, for lack of a better term, drummer to drummer, he kind of was just like, come on, dude. You know, and all these guys were joking with me too. They were like, well, if it was Kirk Hammett that came in and did a song with us, they would have been on Dryly or Jay or Matt. Just
right.
The fact that he was a drummer, he came in and I had like a nice crash course with, you know, a platinum drummer, and it was nice. And he likes our sound and was willing to collab on it with us. It just, that song turned out.
Man, that's awesome. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to big you up also on the fact that you were willing to allow that to happen. Cause so many people have egos and it's just like my way, no way. But I always say, if there's somebody that's been super successful, I'm going to pay it. I'm not going to say they're going to be right all the time, but I'm going to listen to them because they kind of have a, you know, inside look at what's going on, man. So, I feel that. And
a few people told me the same thing. They were like, oh, it's like sweet that you let them do that. And like, from my perspective on it, you know, like the drummer that taught me how to play drums, he was like a band, like a drum corps guy, super, super good. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in college, I took drum lessons from a guy named Norman Humphreys, who was like a 70-year jazz veteran, like one of Pittsburgh's greatest drummers, like of all time.
Right.
You know, and it's like, if I always want to learn. So like, if you don't take these people like that know more stuff than you seriously, like you're never going to get better yourself. So whenever he offered, like, you know, sit down and, you know, kind of co-write it with us, I was just like, for lack of a better term, I was like, I'm just going to pick his brain while I have the opportunity to, because why the hell not? He got 20 years on me. Yeah. You know, he's been places that I'm looking to go. So, you know, might as well just see what he has to offer and take it for what it's worth.
Open up that sponge in your skull and absorb.
100%. And quick story. I laugh because, like, I think about Rich Ward, amazing. Of course, Rich is an amazing guitarist. You know, he's just so unbelievable. And so Rich plays with Fozzy. And so, you know, Fozzy had been doing things for a while. And then they brought in this producer. I can't think of his name, but he's a big time producer. And so they brought him in. And so Rich was like, Rich is usually the one doing all the producing. And so the guy was just like, yeah, just chill for a sec, you know? And so Rich was like, he's back there like, you know, catching the ass, like, man, what the hell, man? You know, I'm ready to get on here and do this and do that. And, you know, this is the story he's telling me. And I'm just looking at him. He was just like, he was really pissed about it. And then the guy was just like, hey, listen, man, what we're doing here with Fozzy is about Chris Jericho and his vocals and about getting the crowd and doing this. Your guitar is a little bit secondary. He's just like, so he said he had to kind of, you know, pull his ego back and understand. And then, boom, what happens?
Yeah,
they reach another level, you know, because this guy is an industry guy and he really knows about producing and music. And so, you know, sometimes we have to pull back and let that happen, man. So, you know, respect to you for doing that, bro.
For sure. Fozzy was just here last Thursday.
Yeah.
My wife bought me tickets for the show too. And then we ended up both working late. Right. And the venue was about an hour and a half away. And we were just like, by the time we got babysitter and everything squared away, we were just like, hell with it, let's just go to dinner. Ended up back home, but
Listen, it's all love, man. You know, they put on a great show, man. All great guys, man. They're all great guys, no doubt.
I do love Chris Jericho, though.
Jericho! He's a wild boy.
He's a wild boy.
Yeah. Okay, so now, Chris, quick story with Chris. So here it is, Stuck Mojo. We come to Paris, and Fozzy is ending their tour, and of course, Rich plays with, you know, a lot of the guys at that time played in Fozzy also that were in Stuck Mojo. So we were about to go on our tour starting in Paris with Volbeat. So I get on the bus, and I fly in, and so I get on the bus, and then everybody's sleeping. It's early in the morning. So I get in, I go to get in my bunk, and it's across from the other bunks. You know how the buses are and stuff like that, so the tiers. So I kind of put my big ass in, you know, the other bunk so I can get in because I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5", at the time, 300 pounds, so I'm trying to get over, you know. So here I am, and then all of a sudden, I feel a kick in my ass, like, boom! And I'm like, what in the hell? So me, I just laugh at it. It was nothing to it. So when we get in the club, I asked the tour manager, Toad, may he rest in peace. I said, Toad, whose bunk is right across from mine? He said, that's Chris's bunk. Because I'd never met Chris before. He said, that's Chris's bunk. So when I got in the venue, I walked up to him. I said, hey, man, why'd you kick me in my ass, man? He said, because you had your ass in my bunk. So it was wild. So that was just a great way of meeting him, man. It's just like, now, Chris and every one of those guys, man, are amazing dudes, man. All of them. Every single one of them, man. So, yeah. So to me, each of these songs, they embraces the listener and opens us up mentally and spiritually to our personal failures and triumphs. So your music evokes these thoughts and feelings, and I applaud you for it. So you guys definitely have something special. So what should your rapidly growing fan base expect from you in the near future as far as touring and new music?
I mean, I'd like to jump on a tour as soon as possible.
Same.
You know, we need to get a vehicle, which is one big hang up for us right now because we're fully independent. You know, we just started. Right. So I mean, we want to get a couple shows under our belt, save up some money and try to get a vehicle.
Right.
You know, so I think that's going to be like our next, you know, mid to short term goal. You know, I'd say within a year, long term goal would be to get out there and get on a tour.
Yeah. Well, I just believe that when you guys get on whatever tour it's going to be, and or whenever you guys get to go overseas or whatever, I'm telling you, man, I just feel it. I feel it. I feel that you guys are really going to take it to another level, man, because everything you're doing is fantastic, man. I don't want to keep saying like I'm just, but I just mean it, man. I just honest how I feel about it.
That means a lot.
I'm vibing with you guys. You guys have some great, great sound, great music. Everything is really, really great. So here's a little question that I have for you guys, and maybe you haven't, maybe you haven't. Have you guys been to Pinball PA?
Pinball PA, I don't think so.
Have not.
So it's like the biggest pinball arcade place in Pittsburgh. You guys haven't been there?
I never have.
Really? So not Matt, that's my bandmate, Chris Aiken, who's over the CMS Network, he owns that. And so I was like, it's in Pittsburgh. So I was like, you know, it's like one of the biggest ones of ever. In the world, I don't know, it's like 4,000 square feet, however it is, but pinball machines and all the arcade stuff that, well, I'm older than you guys, so you got
what part of Pittsburgh it's in?
is it in Beaver County or Beef, something like that? He said,
That's a little bit north of us here.
Dude, I know that place.
Do you?
I've never been there, but I work on movies and television, and they'll rent games from him.
Yes, like, right, exactly. Yeah. So I was just like, man, I said, I got to ask these guys if they've done that, man. No doubt. So, what's up, bro? What's up, young man?
Hi.
Hey, what's up? I love it.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Matt. That's
Matt.
Yeah,
Matt and
Drive. Hi, Matt.
What's up, buddies? What's going on, guys?
Hi, Drive.
All right, guys, I'll be on a couple.
Is that Jay?
No, that's Lord Nelson. No, all right, guys, come on, go.
Awesome, man. Hey, listen. Good content, man. Nothing like family, man. I'm going to tell you right there.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like family. All right. So, last thing I'm going to ask you guys, man, what was the last song you each listened to?
I listened to Guilt and Grief by a band called Zion.
Guilt and Grief by Zion.
Feed the Wolf by Breaking Ben.
Okay.
I honestly don't know what it was called. It was an oldie song on my way home from work on 770.
The reason why I always ask this question last for everybody is because it makes people think, and it's like a lot of times it's never what you think it might be. Meaning, like, we listen to so many different things and we're inspired so many different, you know. So when you say these things, it's like, if I haven't heard it, I'm going to listen to what Josh just said. You know, I want to go see what he just said. I want to go listen to that. You know, I want to go listen to these songs and just take them and just vibe to them, man. So that's why I asked that song, man. So, hey, listen, once again, I want to thank you guys very, very much for your time. It's been a great conversation. I don't look at these as interviews. You know, I watched a couple other things that you guys did. I didn't want to be nothing like those, and I hope mine has just been kind of different. I didn't want to ask you all the same questions. I go out there and listen to your music, and that's when I do my writing to figure out what I want to ask you. So it's just my way of doing things. It's just the Lord.
They felt a lot like we're just hanging out.
That's what I always wanted to be, man. I want it to be like that. But once again,
nice and comfy.
Yes, indeed. So once again, you guys are super, super dope, man, and I appreciate your time. And so if you don't mind, you know, let my watchers and listeners, you know, have your contact information, your social media information.
Yeah. So you can find us on all social media outlets at Dragonfly Effect Band. Go to our official website, dragonflyeffectband.com. From there, you can keep up to date with all of our tour dates, merchandise items, videos, latest releases, see some media posts, pictures, all that fun stuff. Give us a like on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We'd love to have you out at a demonstration.
Yeah, if anybody makes it to the website, sign up for the email list, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah,
hey, man, I love the demonstration thing. It's just different, and I really love it, man. So you know what? Another thing, show wise. So you guys are just really doing shows within your area, within, you know, traveling just to a certain, you know, as far as you were saying, vehicle wise. So
yeah, we're kind of doing regional right now. Regional, we have some stuff in Ohio. We had something that fell through in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. The guy that booked us up there failed to book us.
Okay.
You know, he was supposed to do a little bit of work on his end for us and ended up falling through because he's irresponsible. I don't know what the reason is.
Yeah. So.
Yes, indeed. Well, gentlemen.
Regional right now, you know, within Manhattan would have been 8 hours. So, I mean, realistically, if anywhere in that radius.
That's still a good drive, though. But yes, indeed, man. But once again, I look forward to big things from you guys, man, and continue to handle your business and keep this, if you can, keep this collective together, man. You guys got something special, man. I bullshit you not, man. It's awesome, man. I really enjoy it, and I'm not just saying that, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It is yours truly, the Lord Nelson, that is, from the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment and the unbelievable Dragonfly Effect. Yes, indeed. Thank you, guys, man. Really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Appreciate awesome. You, awesome. Man. Yes, sir. You guys be good.
All right.
You too.
All right, guys.
Up. You're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord, Nelson, that is.